Today is the first day, officially, of lockdown level one. The new curfew regulations kick in tonight. Some of you have enjoyed the curfew in terms of taking pressure off social situations, but the curfew remains, but it goes later, and borders are opening up from 1 October, and international travel is happening, unlimited provincial travel, generally a sense that things are easing up. But of course, the impact of the pandemic has not eased up in any way, shape or form. And one sector that has been particularly hit hard is the non-profit sector. Non-profit organizations, which ironically have probably been needed more than ever during COVID-19, obviously have serious issues as a result of COVID-19. And someone who looks at this is Graham Wilkinson, social investment specialist at Shikalulu Social Investments. Graham, very good afternoon to you. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon, Mike. It's great to be with you, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Thank you very much. Okay, you take a look at this stuff, obviously. Social investment specialist. I presume what you're looking at is the NPO sector. Why have they been particularly hit?
It's really, as you were saying, Mike, it's a twin burden where on the one hand, they have been faced with a decline in incomes. The whole economy has taken a massive whack over the lockdown, as we all know. And the NPO sector, non-profit organizations have seen a decline in incomes. And at the same time, the demand for their services have escalated. In fact, some would say they've escalated exponentially over this time. So on both fronts, the resources they need to do their work have reduced just when the need for their services has increased.
And presumably funding has dried up because people don't have as much money. That would be an obvious problem.
Yes. What we've done, and just recently we've released a report on a survey that we've done as Chikululu, surveying non-profit organizations across the country. We had 179 respondents on the survey, and we were asking them questions about their income and their staffing and all of these factors. And we thought we were really keen to understand the nuances of how the lockdown and COVID-19 had impacted on their work. And 66% of them said their incomes had declined over the... But we were looking at that level 5 lockdown, the very serious lockdown period. And so 66, that's two-thirds of our respondents had said that their incomes had declined. We didn't ask them for full disclosure of their financial situations, but there were a few where they had said their income had declined by more than 75%.
There was about 75%.
There were 10% of respondents said that they'd lost two-thirds of their funding. And looking at the data, we were trying to understand, is it the small organizations, is it the more rural? But it didn't seem to have any particular reason for why some were doing better than others. But it did range from some organizations that said, of the 66% that had seen a reduction in income, that reduction was between a quarter and three-quarters of their income.
I had a couple of conversations with people running sort of relief operations, and interestingly, they said they had very impressive support for the first 3 or 4 weeks when everyone sort of seemed to be acutely aware of the level of the crises, whether it's the various crises facing society, and they realized NPOs had a role to play. So people sort of stepped in, but that quickly waned as it started to look like a long-term issue, and obviously there was long-term stress on finance and time and fatigue and all of that. I don't know if you've seen any evidence of that it's even fallen away even further since that hard lockdown.
So our survey was just a one-off snapshot, but what we did see is that the majority of our respondents had seen a decline in their reserves. So they were drawing down on their precious reserves over this period. There were those. 35% of our respondents said they did receive additional funding, like COVID-19 specific funding. And there has been quite a bit of money going into the sector. Some of it's new money, and some of it's money that donors or grant makers, including the state, might have allowed flexibility to say, okay, we were giving you money for early childhood development work, but you can use it for food parcels. There's a little bit of that. But yeah, as I was saying, 35% had indicated that they'd had to draw down on their reserves. So their existing incomes, whether they got a little bit extra in the short term, over the longer 2-month period that we were reviewing, they've had to draw down on their reserves.
And casualties, people, wasn't enough. Casualties, people closing down altogether, seen any of that?
So, no, out of the respondents, we could see that there were four respondent organizations who were in serious trouble, given we're adding up all of their responses, painting a really dire picture. But on the whole, a good 60-odd percent, and I'm talking percentages, but let's just say a majority of the organizations were weathering the storm, but they were having to reinvent themselves in the process to do so. Only 10% indicated that they'd retrenched people. So I think there's a concerted effort to, even though they had indicated, most of the respondents indicated either laying people off temporarily or reducing their working hours, that they were trying to keep their staff, even though they were reducing all their costs in other areas. Because most nonprofits really rely on the elbow grease to get things done, the hands and the feet that make the change. So they've got to keep the stock because they're the change makers, but they really battle to find ways to do that. But it seems on the whole, majority have been able to. So the casualties in terms of number of organizations and number of people affected were perhaps less than we had expected. But when you look at their overall resilience, they have all taken a serious knock.
There's a headline on the report that you guys issued, that, I mean, optimism prevails. It seems extraordinary that you can put that little sub-headline, given what you've just told me, but it remains an optimistic sector?
It does. The outlook from 18 months to 3 years from now is overwhelmingly positive, that the respondents felt that the damaging effects of COVID-19 can be overcome over time. So I think there is a recognition that COVID-19 has damaged the society, and I'm extrapolating a bit, but I think that's understood. But that these damaging effects can be overcome. So we were quite taken, and as you say, we've put it on one of our highlights because it was a very clear optimistic sense that we got both from the quantitative data set that we got through, as well as the qualitative responses people were giving.
Graham, thank you very much for your time. Do appreciate it. Social investment specialist at Shikululu Social Investments, talking there about the fate of NPOs under COVID-19.